Good morning and welcome to the Better Business Bureau show on 98.7 and 97.3 Westmoreland Gold online at thisisgold.net, featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director of the Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, good morning and happy March.
Good morning. Excited that the weather finally seems like it's broken, too.
Finally, yeah. Spring is sprung, I guess, as we should say.
Thankfully.
What will we be discussing today on the BBB Talk Block?
Well, the Better Business Bureau has promoted trust between consumers and businesses in the marketplace for more than 100 years now, and our newly released Scam Tracker Risk Report is one critical component in our fight against fraud. And this annual report uses data that is submitted by people to BBB Scam Tracker to shed light on how scams are being perpetrated, who is really being targeted, and which scams are having the greatest impact and more. So on today's Talk Block, we're going to discuss some of the surprising new trends that were identified in this year's report and name the top riskiest scams of 2020.
Now, how did the pandemic impact scam tracker activity last year, and how does BBB determine actual scam risk?
Great questions. In 2020, more than 46,000 scams were published on BBB Scam Tracker, and this was a 25% increase in reports from 2019. Additionally, there were about 1.4 million unique visitors who used Scam Tracker, which was a 17% increase from the previous year. So definitely more activity. And the majority of these visitors used Scam Tracker to prevent themselves from losing money from a scam, but they also wanted to warn others from falling victim. And during a difficult year for so many people, we estimate that consumers and business owners saved about $21 million in 2020 just by checking BBB Scam Tracker while experiencing what they originally believed was a scam. Now, to better understand which scam types actually pose the highest risk, we assess scams on the basis of three different factors, and that's exposure, susceptibility, and monetary loss. And by combining these three factors, we're able to gain a more meaningful picture of the scam risk that goes beyond just the volume of reports that we receive. So this helps us better target our scam prevention outreach as well. And we call this unique formula the BBB Risk Index. We recognize that risk can't be determined just by looking at one of those factors alone. So scams that occur in high volume, for example, they typically target as many people as possible, but they usually result in a lower likelihood of someone actually losing money, and they generally have losses of smaller amounts when they do happen. In comparison, scams that have that high-touch approach, they often reach fewer people, but those people exposed to that scam are usually most likely to lose money at a significantly higher amount. But overall, this risk index provides a more accurate way to assess which scams are having the biggest effect on those who report them to BBB Scam Tracker. And they really help us to track interesting changes in risk from year to year.
Now, what are some of the surprises in comparing last year's data to 2019?
Truly impossible to provide a comparison of 2020 to 2019 without considering the overall impact of the pandemic. And according to a survey of people who had reported a scam to us last year, 43% that said that they were spending more time online because of COVID, and 57% said they were purchasing more online. And just all of us were forced to social distance and conduct a larger portion of our personal, professional lives online, while many lost their jobs, forcing more people to even seek new employment opportunities online. So all of these factors likely played into online purchase scams and employment scams being the riskiest scams to fall for last year. Interestingly, too, last year, the overall exposure or the number of scam reports increased along with susceptibility. And this reached an all-time high with nearly one in two reports noting some kind of financial loss. Also, for the first time, adults ages 18 to 24 reported the highest median losses to scams at $150 per incident. And this was the same as adults 65 and older, or seniors. Now, in previous years, younger adults always lost money more often than anyone else. But when older adults did lose money, they lost the most. So this change may be due to the pandemic, with all age groups spending significantly more time online last year.
Now, with the title of this year's risk report being Online Scams Rise During the COVID-19 Pandemic, can you talk about some of the specific kinds of online purchase scams that targeted people?
Well, not surprisingly, online purchase scams appeared as the riskiest scam last year after placing third in 2019. And online purchase scams made up 38% of all scams reported to BBB Scam Tracker, ranking as the scam with the highest exposure by far of all scam types. I found it kind of interesting, in Western Pennsylvania, this percentage was even higher, with online purchase scams making up over half, so about 52%. Of all scams being reported locally last year. And average dollar loss for online purchase scams also increased from $76 to $96 last year. Now, the top product categories used for online purchase scams involved pets and pet supplies, and medical and nutrition products. Motor vehicles and parts, clothing and accessories, and digital devices followed next. But pets and pet supplies made up 34% of all online purchase scams report, with over 70% of people losing money when targeted by this specific scam type. The median dollar loss for pet-related scams was also $750, so significantly higher than any other product type used for scams. Medical and nutrition supplies, which included masks and other products needed during the pandemic, made up about 8% of online purchase scams reported. And these were especially prevalent at the beginning of the pandemic, with about 83% of people who were exposed to that product type losing money.
Now, why do you think there was such a significant increase in online pet scams last year when compared to any other? Because that seems kind of surprising to me.
And it's interesting, but if you think about it, so soon after cities and states began to impose those tighter restrictions to help curb the spread of COVID, we really started to see this huge spike in pet fraud reports. And the pandemic dramatically increased this demand as people wanted to adopt a pet for companionship and also to help ease tension. Many people even felt that they had more time to train a puppy, being at home for a prolonged time. But, of course, anytime there's an increased demand for something, scammers take advantage of that situation. And many of these online searches ended with a would-be pet owner paying hundreds of dollars or more to purchase a pet that ultimately never existed. And the pandemic also gave scammers new tools in their arsenal for this type of scam, with a lot of Scam Tracker reports showing that these fraudsters were telling would-be pet owners that they couldn't meet the animals before sending money or pick up pets in person because of the pandemic. Fraudsters even made COVID-19 related money requests for items such as special climate-controlled crates, insurance, even a non-existent COVID-19 vaccine at the time. So the Better Business Bureau always reminds people who are searching for a pet, always try to see the pet in person before you pay any kind of money. In light of the pandemic, if that isn't possible for you, even consider requiring a video call with that seller so you can see the seller and the actual pet for sale. And since most scammers are not likely to comply with that request, this may help you to avoid a scam. You can also do a reverse image search of any provided photos of the pet. Search for a distinctive phrase in the description online too to help determine if it could be a scam. And just make sure you do your research to get that sense of a fair price for the breed you're considering. Certainly think twice if someone is advertising a purebred dog for free or at a deeply discounted price.
Now, it's really shocking that 70% of people who reported pet scams lost money, and around 750 at that. So what was the second riskiest scam of 2020?
Employment scams were identified as the second riskiest scam last year, with scammers often incorporating a really high-touch approach, spending significant time preparing elaborate setups. For example, we noticed a trend where more job scammers conducted in-depth interviews through Google Hangouts and other online technologies. They actually provided professional-looking employment forms for targets to fill out in advance, even asking their targets to perform job duties before the scam was discovered. And phony job offers often included part-time flexible jobs, so taking advantage of the pandemic and that increased popularity of remote and work-from-home jobs. Scammers also capitalized on the uptick in unemployment by really attempting to take advantage of those who were more likely to be financially vulnerable and desperate for a paycheck, even if it might have sounded a little bit too good to be true. So BBB always tells job seekers, watch out for those on-the-spot job offers and interviews only through email or instant messaging, which can mean trouble. And make sure you verify employment opportunities through a company's website or legitimate contact methods. Actual companies are going to usually conduct interviews or at least through a phone conversation or a video process. And no legitimate job would ever overpay an employee and then ask for money to be sent elsewhere either. Any employer should also provide a formal written offer of employment that outlines specific terms and conditions of the offer. Any misspellings, grammatical errors, and generic information without providing their specific details should always be a red flag.
Now, previously you had mentioned that young adults ages 18 to 24 fell for scams most often and lost more money last year. Was this age group the most frequent target for both online purchase and employment scams last year?
Yes. So online purchase scams and employment scams actually ranked 1 and 3 specifically for this age group. But the third overall riskiest scam ranked as the second riskiest for ages 18 to 24. Now, the monetary loss for fake check and money order scams was over $1,600, which was much higher than the median dollars lost across all scam types and likely contributed to the higher than average losses for the 18 to 24 age group. While people may write fewer checks just due to the popularity of electronic financial transactions now, scams using fake checks are growing rapidly because of the now lack of familiarity with that check process, especially among younger demographics. And scammers succeed with fake check scams because they prey off of people's misconception that they've received a valid payment, so they think it can't be a scam, especially if it's coming from someone that you think you know or is some kind of authority figure. People need to remember that if you cash a check and your account is credited, this doesn't automatically mean that that check is valid. So federal banking rules require that when someone deposits a check, the funds have to be made available right away, so within a day or two. But if that check bounces a week or so later, you are the one who's ultimately held responsible for paying back all of that money. It's also important to recognize that cashier's checks and postal money orders can look genuine, but they still can be forged. So make sure you talk to your financial institution, confirm how long it's going to take for that check to work its way back through their system, which is usually about 2 weeks, and avoid doing anything with the funds until you are 100% certain that the check is good. Fake check scams are often used in employment scams as well as overpayment scams, but in all cases, victims deposit that check and then end up sending the money to scammers that they can't get back.
Now, which scam is next on the list at number 4?
So BBB has witnessed a national trend of advanced fee loan scams popping up online. And these target people who are having trouble obtaining cash or credit. And victims are also being lured by text messages, phone calls, advertisements, even direct mail pieces that promise guaranteed loans, regardless of your credit history, for advanced fees that usually run between $50 and even several hundred dollars. But it's so important to recognize that real lenders are never going to guarantee you a loan in advance. They'll check your credit score and other documents before providing you with an interest rate or a loan amount. And they're not going to ask you to pay an upfront fee. Fees are never paid through Green Dot Money Pack cards, iTunes gift cards, or by wiring money. So unusual payment methods and payments to an individual are a big tip-off that something is wrong with the process. Legitimate lenders will also never ask you to pay for processing your application, with the exception of real estate. So it is an accepted and normal practice for lenders to request payment for a credit report or even an appraisal in that particular situation. But that's the only time that would be acceptable.
Now, the riskiest scam, number five, is particularly timely to discuss, especially we're heading into spring, and this is when typical home improvement season is underway, and it even started earlier here because of the pandemic. But so what do people need to do to avoid home improvement scams? Because I'm sure this is a huge one right now.
Absolutely. And with more people still spending time at home throughout the pandemic, many homeowners are using that extra time to start home improvement projects that they've been putting off. But contractor scams can always happen anytime. So you have to be wary of those high-pressure sales tactics, high upfront fees, and fly-by-night businesses. Home improvement scams can start with a knock on the door, a flyer, or an ad, and the contractor may offer a low price or a shorter than expected time frame for job completion. And one common hook is when the scammer claims to be working in your neighborhood on another project and has leftover materials. Once started, a rogue contractor may supposedly discover issues that significantly raise the price. And if you object, they threaten to walk away and leave a half-finished job. Or they may accept your upfront deposit and then just never return to do that job. Now, following any kind of storm damage, we also recognize scammers are known to persuade homeowners to sign over their insurance payment too. So do your research, obtain multiple estimates, verify registration with the Attorney General's office, and check out a company at BBB.org to verify their legitimacy.
Now, what were the final five riskiest scams of 2020?
Romance scams, cryptocurrency, tech support, travel and vacation and timeshare scams, and investment fraud rounded out the rest of the top riskiest scams last year. So romance scams actually remained in the same spot as 2019, where an individual believes he or she is in a romantic relationship and gets tricked into sending money, personal or financial information, even items of value to the scammer. And typically these cons start on some type of dating website or app, but then move over to a social media site, which is where the con artist starts to ask for money. When it comes to cryptocurrency scams, in some cases, consumers don't quite understand digital assets, enabling scammers to convince them they'll make significant returns on an investment that doesn't exist. Some scams also occur because people purchase, store, or trade cryptocurrencies on exchange sites that aren't secure and are vulnerable to hackers. And unlike money stored in a traditional bank account, which is insured against theft, digital assets such as cryptocurrency can't be retrieved, and those transactions can't be reversed in the case of theft or cyber hacking. Tech support scams start with a call or a pop-up warning that alerts the target to a computer bug or other problem. And scammers posing as tech support employees of well-known companies like Apple or Microsoft hassle victims into paying for support. If you allow remote access, malware is usually installed, and people who fall for these scams usually pay by credit card or gift card while talking to a scammer on the phone. Vacation, travel, and timeshare scams do continue to exist, where con artists post listings for properties not available for rent that don't exist or are significantly different from what's pictured. In another variation, scammers claim to specialize in timeshare resales and promise they have buyers ready to purchase. And finally, the last risky scam, investment fraud, really takes many forms, but all prey on that desire to make money without much supposed risk or initial funding. So investors are lured with false information, promises of large returns with little or no risk. These cons mainly take place on the phone, and victims use wire transfer as a common payment method.
Now, were there any other notable trends regarding scam risk in 2020?
In 2020, not surprisingly, more scams were perpetrated online and yielded the highest likelihood of financial loss. The top three contact methods that resulted in an actual loss of money were website, social media, and email. The least common contact methods resulting in a loss were scams through postal mail and in person. In fact, the percentage of scams perpetrated in person was cut in half from 2019 to 2020, likely due to decreased opportunities because of the pandemic. Now, phone was the most common contact method used by scammers, as it has been for the past few years, and accounted for nearly half of all scams reported by people ages 65 and older. But phone scams are much less risky than scams perpetrated online. Even for older adults, scams initiated both through website and social media were most likely to result in a loss than scams initiated over the phone. And when it came to the method of payment used in scams, credit cards did remain at the top for individuals who lost money. Online payment systems like PayPal, Cash App, Venmo, and Zelle were the second most common payment type resulting in a monetary loss. This reported method of payment in scams has increased significantly over the past few years, up from 19% in 2019 to 31% in 2020. And this spike in use is pretty significant because all of the other payment methods have decreased, including prepaid cards and gift cards.
Now, besides age, are there any other factors that seem to impact scam risk?
In 2020, roughly two-thirds of the reports to BBB Scam Tracker were submitted by women. And overall, women were identified as being more susceptible to losing money when exposed to a scam compared to men. Even more significant is the fact that the average dollar loss for women at $105 was actually 37% lower than that for men at $168. Similar to the differences in losses by age group, this might reflect gender differences in access to financial resources or even differences in the types of scams that tend to target women versus men. Now, it's also interesting to note that members of the military community, including veterans, continue to be at an increased risk for falling for scams and do report higher financial losses than non-military consumers. And this was the first year when military consumers reported both higher likelihoods of losing money and higher median dollar losses to scams. And when these findings were segmented even further between active duty military, military spouses, and veterans, it was clear that the most at-risk individuals were those active duty service members. So they lost more than double that of any other demographic category and reported significantly higher incidences of loss.
Has BBB been able to identify the best ways to avoid losing money to all of the scams that we talked about today, Caitlin? Or is there anything specific that sets non-victims apart from victims?
Well, multiple protective behaviors can reduce that likelihood of someone losing money to a scam. And a common theme we've heard from individuals is that it's important to know about different kinds of scams and the general methods and behaviors of scammers, because different scam types often use similar tactics in this ever-changing scam landscape. Impersonation does continue to be one of the most common tactics that fraudsters use to perpetrate scams. By pretending to be well-known trusted companies, government agencies, and organizations, scammers can better manipulate their targets. And scams impersonating the Social Security Administration were the most common type of impersonation scam last year. Impersonations of Amazon also rose sharply in 2020 and were the second most common, just likely due to that increase in online purchase scams during the pandemic. But Publishers Clearinghouse, Apple, Microsoft, PayPal, Medicare, and Walmart were also in that list of top legitimate organizations and brands that were used in impersonation attempts by scammers as well.
Now, are there any new scam variations that BBB is currently warning people to be on the lookout for this month?
Of course. And as a follow-up to the impersonation tactics we just discussed, BBB is now warning people really beware of new government imposter scams that are targeting this third round of economic impact payments that are on the way. Previously, Scam Tracker received numerous reports from people who were contacted by scammers through text message, email, and phone calls about their COVID-19 stimulus checks. It's likely that many of these same tactics are going to be used again. So watch out for email or text messages instructing to click a link to request benefit payments. This link connects to an application prompting the entering of personal information in order to make sure you're getting all the payments owed to you, supposedly. This application is really just a way to fish for your personal details and commit identity theft. And in the phone variation, a scammer pretends to call from a government agency. The con artist insists on being paid immediately or confirmation of personal information before your stimulus check can be sent. Other times, these scammers claim additional funds are available or that you can receive funds immediately once a small processing fee is paid with a prepaid debit card. These are all red flags and should be reported to Scam Tracker, though.
Now, I think I know the answer to this next one, but has there been an uptick in people reporting vaccine scams locally? Because a lot of people are getting the vaccine now.
Yes, we're also reminding people beware of vaccine scams that are taking advantage of demand for appointments, still far outpacing supply in our area. And Vaccine Hunter websites, online forums, social media groups have all sprung up offering to help people find open appointments and leftover vaccine doses in their area. While most of these sites and groups are legitimate sources, this situation is an ideal opportunity for scammers, so use caution when following links or providing personal information. Centralized vaccine availability websites that are similar to airfare aggregation sites scan the databases of vaccine providers, such as CVS or Rite Aid, for availability. And vaccinefinder.org is one such site being promoted by the CDC. These sites are handy tools, but be cautious of lookalike websites that collect personal information or require payment. Always go through official public health channels and approved providers to get a vaccine appointment. Anyone claiming to sell vaccine doses is a scam. Never pay to add your name to a waiting list or to get the vaccine either. We've received recent reports about scammers charging for fake vaccine appointments. The federal government's providing the vaccine free of charge to all people living in the U.S. at this time, and providers can't charge you for the vaccine. Any other claim is a definite scam.
Any final thoughts, Caitlin, as we wrap up today?
Well, as a final reminder, please just continue to check with BBB first and report any scams you encounter to BBB Scam Tracker at bbb.org/scamtracker.
You've been listening to the Better Business Bureau show featuring Caitlin Driscoll, Public Relations Director, Better Business Bureau of Western PA. Caitlin, thanks as always, and we will talk to you again in April.
Thank you.